Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. They are one of our sponsors. And the PVM Church, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. The Refuge Church, located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. We all have guidelines that we live by. These guidelines are protective. They're essential to a truly productive life. They not only give you increase on the outside, they bring you security on the inside. When the guidelines are established is important. You don't want to establish them in the journey, but before you begin, how you start will be an indicator of where you will end.
Bart Ison Ford was recently awarded the Ford President's Award for the fifth time. We want to thank our customers as we celebrate this prestigious award. We love what we do, and you're the reason we're the number one auto dealer of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle.
They're loyal to me, and I'm loyal to them. For us at PK & Company, we always buy our vehicles at Barbara Dyson Ford, now and forever.
All of us here at Hutchinson will love the people and the trucks we get at Barbara Dyson.
I buy all my family vehicles as well as my company vehicles for Smith Ag from Barbara Dyson.
Come experience the difference at Barbara Dyson Ford and check us out at BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Sister Judy Gifford. Her title for this morning is Jesus. Back to you, Sister Judy.
Praise God. Well, Father, we do ask that you'll anoint the second part of this, Lord, and let us bring out, Lord, and talk about you and let people hear and see, God, who you really are. I wish I could adequately describe who he is. I don't have the vocabulary to totally, I can only tell you what he's done in my life. And then there's some people that have tried to write down what he was to them, and so I'm going to read. These are actually from a couple of different people here, but I'm going to include it. And then there's a writing set called My King, it was done by a black gentleman and is wonderful. I tried to find it on the internet, so maybe we could just listen to that instead of me reading it, but it kept bringing up all other things when I said My King. So it says here, it's talking about Jesus. He is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of all creation and the creator of all. He is the architect of all the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and he always will be, unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen. And then someone else put it this way. It says, his ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging. And his mind is on me. He's my Savior. He's my guide. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He's my Lord. And he rules my life. I serve him because his bond is love and his burden is light. And his goal for me is abundant life. I follow him because he's the wisdom of the wise, the ancient of days, the ruler of rulers and the leader of leaders, the overseer of the overcomers, and is to come. And if that seems impressive to you, try this for size. His gold is a relationship with me and you. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He'll never mislead me. He will never forget me. He'll never overlook me and never cancel my appointment in his appointment book. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives me. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I'm lost, he is the way. When I'm afraid, he's my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. This is a pretty good description, isn't it, of what he does. When I am broken, he mends me. And when I'm blind, he leads me. And when I'm hungry, he feeds me. And when I face trials, he is with me. And when I face persecution, he shields me. And when I face problems, he comforts me. And when I face loss, he provides for me. And when I face death, he carries me home. He is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, and every way. He is God. He is faithful. I am his and he is mine. My Father in heaven can whip the father of this world. So if you're wondering why I feel so secure, understand this. He said it and that settles it. God is in control and I'm on his side. And that means all is well with my soul. Every day is a blessing, for God is. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the life giver, the source of all good and every good thing. He gives life to all who receive him. He'll be the savior of your soul. Isn't that sweet? Amen. And all of that, those promises are right here in the word for us to find. And the Bible tells us, once we have this, that we're to go tell. That's the commission he gave the church. Go tell. Go tell it. Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come into my house, that my house may be full. I told them at the nursing home, I have the privilege of going there now. And I would never thought I would enjoy going to a nursing home. But I love it. It's just, yesterday, the Lord just anointed me and helped me to him be the praise and glory. And people started coming up to me going, would you pray with me? And we had already asked them to pray and to follow in prayer. And then I went over shaking hands and one man stood up and whispered in my ear, I'd like to rededicate my life. Would you pray with me? And another time I was there, after I finished, a man rolled up to me and said, would you pray for me? And he just said it out loud in front of everybody. And I said, would you like to receive the Lord? And he said, yes. And I said, have you ever done this before? And he said, no. And I said, okay, follow me in prayer. And so pray for him. He's learning about the Lord. Yeah. He's someone who's never known. So what an opportunity that the Lord has given me. And I love it. I love every second of it. I just, who would think? I go and we play the piano and we pass out some music for them. One lady one day said, I want some words so I can sing too. Because I guess she wasn't raised in church and know all those old hymns. So I went and copied, took my songbook and copied some songs down at the copy place. And then I passed some of those out to them and then we sing them. So I've got to go copy some more. Mm-hmm. But praise God, if that's what my life is to be, there's a song that says rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful and Jesus will save. And this is their last stop. There's one lady that's Jehovah's Witness there. And she'll come out and she'll enjoy. You can tell she's enjoying it, but then she won't come the next time. And she's kind of, and then she gave me a request to pray for her brother. And then she had people contact me and say, don't give his name when you ask prayer because of the difference in religion. But now she's not showing up. So I've been praying for her that the Lord will bring her out and let the truth penetrate, because this is her last stop. Mm-hmm. And she wants it, but she's been steeped in that. And that's a hard thing to break. You know, it's a bondage that's a hard thing to break. But people want Jesus once they can see who he is. Once they can see his beauty, once they can see his love. And I think we can't even begin to understand how much he loves us. How do you love someone enough to go die for them? I told the nursing home, you know, there's only two people, and maybe more with my grandkids now, but I haven't sat and thought about it. But when there's young, I remember laying down by Brent. And telling Brent, because I'd lay down by one of them, then I'd lay down by the other, or I'd kneel by their bed, or I'd sit on their bed every night before they'd go to sleep, and we would talk, and I would pray with them. And I told him, son, and he remembers that he told it from the pulpit. I'd kind of forgotten it. I said, son, I love you enough that I would give my life for you. And he said, I remember thinking, huh, I don't think I love you that much. Of course, a kid don't. You know, the parents are the one that have the greatest love. But Jesus loved us enough to die for us. Mm-hmm. And God loved enough. And I said, I don't know anybody that I love enough to allow my son to die for them. I don't know anybody. I'd say, husband, you're on your own, you know, and he's the closest one to me. Mom, I love you, but, you know, maybe you'd die for your mom, but, you know, maybe not. But you know that kid, mm-hmm. that child of yours, you'd do anything for that child. And it's a love that you, it's a bonding love that is like no other on earth, because it's such a pure, innocent child you've got there, and it's yours. And but that kind of love that God had for mankind was so great, he was willing to give his only begotten Son of God. Mm-hmm. And giving him and allowing him to suffer and allowing the break between them. They'd never had a break between them. That'd always been a fellowship. That'd always been that camaraderie. And then on the cross, not only was Jesus suffering the abuses that he was suffering and the pain he was suffering and the physical, mental, emotional pain that he was suffering. Then there he's thirsting, he's dying, he's bleeding. And then he realizes he's disconnected from God. God has turned his back on him. And this is the question he asked. I mean, he knew he was suffering for the world's sins. What he didn't get was why God turned his back on him. And so he called out and he yelled out, my God, as probably as strong as he, as much strength as he had. I bet the yell wasn't very loud because of the weakness that he had suffered and the loss of blood. But he called out, my God, why? Why? And so people say it's wrong to say why, but I don't think whys are wrong. I think how dare yous are wrong. And when we don't like what's happened and we tell God, how dare you? You know, we don't say those words. We say it, why? But in it really wasn't why. It was how dare you allow this to happen to me. But Jesus didn't understand. He really didn't understand, or he wouldn't have cried out, why? Why have you forsaken me? That's the part of it he didn't get. He didn't know. And we all have our guessing kind of, I guess it's a guessing game of why God turned his back on Jesus. But I think is because he had to know what it was like to be lost. He had to know what it was like to be sin and sin cast away from God. Because people, there will be people and are people in hell today that are cast away from the presence of God. And that is hell itself, to be away from the presence of God. But let alone captured in a place that you can't get out of, that there's pain and suffering. And Jesus came to deliver us from that. And all the people in the Old Testament would have to do, there was a cross and the snake on the cross, and all they had to do was look up at that, and they were healed. The same thing we have to do. The Bible said, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So it's a simple process. It's not a lot. You just got to realize, wait a minute. The Bible says, he that comes to God must, this is a must, he that comes to God must believe. He that comes to God must believe that he is. He's got to believe there is a God. There's people that can't even get past that. They can't even believe there is a God. And that's called a spirit of unbelief. But anyway, we must believe that he is, and he's there, and he will reward you if you pray to him. He will hear you. It says that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That means not half-hearted, not flippant, but when you're truly, with your full, sincere heart, call out on God, he will hear you. And if you believe that, and then you call, the Bible says, whosoever shall call shall be saved. And people call in different ways. Some people have said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. One man prayed it like that in Scripture. The thief on the cross said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was saying, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe. Would you remember me when you come? And I told that I heard Steve Hill say when we were in Argentina on a mission trip, and we were on a bus getting ready to get on airport, getting ready to leave Argentina, and he was talking to the whole group of about 40 people. And he told us, he said, when he got saved, he was trying to kick drugs. And he was laying in bed, and this preacher came to him and knocked on the door just at the perfect time. And his mom let him in. And when he was back there, he said, "Preacher, help me, preacher, help me." And that preacher, whoever he was, is forever nameless in my story, but my telling it. But anyway, he said, "Steve, I can't help you." And he said, "Then why did you come here?" He said, "Steve, I can't help you, but there's one who can. And his name is Jesus. And if you will call to him, he will help you." And he said, "I just started screaming, Jesus." He said, "I started yelling at the top of my voice, Jesus." And he said, "All that shaking and all the pain and all I was going through just eased down. It all stopped. It all just quit." And he said, "In that moment, I was saved." And so how did he just call Jesus, 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 Jesus. Well, that's enough. It says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord." Because in that calling, it says you believe. Like the thief on the cross, "Remember me." And that's what I told them that day, that guy wanted me to pray for him. And different people don't all say it alike. They don't all have the exact same words. And we give a sinner's prayer, and we all kind of make it up in our own mind, you know, and you have people repeat after us that don't know how to pray. But from your heart, whether you're repeating after somebody or whether you're just making your own words up, you call to him. And he sees the sincerity of your heart. Brent preached about Hannah and how Hannah was praying. And the Bible says she wasn't saying anything out loud. She was just moving her mouth. And she was saying it real quiet. And the priest couldn't hear what she said, so he thought she was drunk. But that prayer, and the Lord spoke to Eli and said, "Tell her her request is answered." And what she was praying for, a child. Because her husband had two wives, and the other one had several children, and she was mocking her because it was a disgrace to not have children. So she calls her enemy because she continually mocked her, you know. And God opened Hannah's womb and heard her prayer. And so anyway, Jesus, he's the Savior of the world. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible said he's the bread of life. That he's the light of the world. It said, if you find him, that you'll have no darkness in you. If you find him, you found the way to salvation, peace, and joy. So how do we shut out the things of the world? We've got to literally turn our back to the things of the world and turn our back to the liar. Because just before people get saved, the enemy will say, "Oh, don't listen to that tape. If that's where God's getting ready to," like there's a comedian. And he was getting ready to listen to a tape. He said, "Life was just so futile for me. I couldn't figure it out." And he said, he was on the field playing golf with this guy because this guy was rich. And he wanted to be able to play on his golf courses. He owned golf courses, this guy did. And so this guy in the process was a Christian. And he was trying to witness to this comedian. He said, this guy was trying to be a comedian. That this rich guy was trying, and he said he wasn't very good. But he said, anyway, I was his friend because he's rich, you know. And so he said something about the Bible, and he said, "Oh, I don't believe the Bible." And he said, I'm an atheist. I don't believe the Bible. And he said, "Well, what is it about the Bible you don't believe?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I never read it." He said, "Well, that's the most asinine thing I've ever heard anybody say, you know. That's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard anybody say, you know." So he said, "If I send you a Bible study, will you look at it?" And he said, "What'll it cost me?" He said, "Nothing." He said, "Okay, send away. You know, if I get you a Bible, will that be okay?" He said, "How much will it cost me?" He said, "Nothing. I'll just send it to you." He said, "Okay." So the guy sent him a Bible. He sent him tapes. And when his marriage got to the point that his wife, they had taken chapter 11 or bankruptcy, everything was gone. There wasn't a chair to sit on. His wife said, "I'm going to mom's." And he said, Oh, I can't go right now. We can't go. She said, you weren't invited. I'm going home to Mom. And when you get your life together, then you can come and get us. And she took the children and left. And he said, so he sat there, and she said, if you're going to read these things, listen to them or throw them out, because he'd been throwing them in a drawer. So she came and got him and threw him down at his feet and left. And so he's like, well, what am I going to do? And he said, he started to reach for one, and then there was, well, that won't do you any good. There's always an enemy trying to speak to your mind to keep you from the things of God, the house of God, the word of God, prayer. And he said he pushed past it, and he picked up Ecclesiastes, and he put it in. And who would think Ecclesiastes would be anything? But he said it spoke right to my heart, just how I felt. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. He said there wasn't no point to life as far as I'm concerned. I couldn't find the point to life. But when he put the word of God in and started listening to it, even though the devil fought him, he said, I wanted to run outside and say, hey, hey, has anybody read this book? Hey, you know, anybody read this? And God saved him. And in his comedy routines now, if I knew his name, y'all probably know it. Or y'all see his face, you'd probably know it. But he's been around a long time as a comedian. But now he says, the God who creates us, it created all, and he always mentions God and brings him in. He said, I know when the devil rebelled against God. It was when he was a teenager. He said, how would you like making something in your own image that rebels against you? He said, I think that's why God allowed us to have teenagers. But anyway, all of that to say Jesus is real. I didn't read this. I might read just a few lines of this. It says, he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. He's a racial king. He's the king of Israel. He's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings and the Lord of lords, and that's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him? And David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-reaching telescope can bring his visibility bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. This guy knew how to use words. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. Not, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomena that has ever crossed the horizon of the world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature, and he's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. It says, he is the fundamental doctrine of the true theology. He is the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. He is the miracle of the ages. Yes, yes, he is. He is the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder, do you know him today? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides, and he heals the sick and he cleanses the leper. And he forgives sinners and he discharges debtors. And he delivers the captives and he defends the feeble and he blesses the young. And he serves the unfortunate and he regards the aged and he rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him? Well, my king, he is the king. He is the key to knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He is the doorway of deliverance, and he's the pathway of peace, and he's the roadway of righteousness, and he's the highway of holiness, and he's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold, and his promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. There's a little bit more. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. He reigns in righteousness, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. Yes, he is. He is God. He is incomparable. He is invincible. He is irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind, and you can't get him off your hands. You can't live without him, and you can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree. Herod couldn't kill him, and death can't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yay, this is my king. I said, that's my king. That's my king. Yes, and thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. However long that is, and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the forevers, then amen. Good God Almighty, amen and amen.
Amen.
That's my king. Hallelujah. God bless you guys. His name is Jesus. And if you'll call to him, I spoke to a little girl when I was in Holland, and I stepped in the little shop because I had $50 in their money. And I'm like, I'm not taking $50 to put in a drawer at home and forget where it's from, you know. I'm going to use this. So I stepped in, and she went, and visibly. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she just kept acting so rude. And I said, is there a problem? And she said, not that you would care, but I have tests tomorrow. And I had stepped in just before closing time. And my little Oklahoma thinking was, well, if you can be that rude, and I'm from America, you know, and I've been a visitor in your country, and you can be that rude, then I can be very slow. And so I started saying, could I see that? Let me see that. And I just I'm piddling. I know I want those dolls. And so she goes, she gets it. I mean, she's bright. She gets it. And I look at her and say, what is your name? And she said, Judy. And I said, well, that's my name, Judy. I said, what's your middle name? And she told me. I said, my middle name's Kay. Okay. I said, come here from around there. She was behind the counter. And I said, get my hands. And I got a hold of her hands. And I said, dear Jesus, I ask you that tomorrow when Judy takes these tests, that she will ace these tests, that it will be, you know, she would get a perfect score, and I prayed for her. And when I opened my eyes, she's just staring me straight in the face. And she said, sorry, I don't agree with your faith, something like that. And I said, that's okay. His name is Jesus. And one day you're going to need him. And when you do, you call on him, and he'll answer you. Because whoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Now, I want that doll and that doll. And I paid for my stuff and left. But, you know, but people around the world need to know, you know what? His name is Jesus. And that's enough. If you can just tell him his name is Jesus, call on him. You know, and I one more story. I'm standing in line in Walmart. And this man behind us is an older gentleman. I'm putting my stuff out. And he's hiccuping. And so he insists on including me and the cashier in his problem. And so he's going, I'm so sorry, girls. You know, and I'm so sorry. I can't. Oh, I need to stop this. And so she suggested something. I said, hold your breath and count to 10. And she said, yeah, and if you drink something, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to drink. I'm going to get out here and going straight to the liquor store, and I'm getting me some booze. And he said, my mama said not to drink it, but my daddy said, blank with it. Drink what you want to. And he said, so here he is 70-something, listening to what his daddy said when he was a little boy. Uh-huh. And so I thought, you know, if he's going to keep including me in this, I was trying to ignore him, and he wouldn't let me ignore him. So I just turned to him and started talking to him about Jesus. And I don't know what I said, but when I turned back and finished putting my groceries in and what I was doing, he said, ma'am, and he took out of his pocket this thing he had made on the lathe, and it was a candle holder. And it's pretty. It was stained and polished. And he said, I brought this tonight for somebody here at Walmart, but she's not working tonight. Could I give this to you? And I said, yes, sir. Thank you very much. So I set it up in my house, and he gave me his name, and I remember that name. It's amazing because I usually don't remember names. I remember that man's name, and when I see it, I call his name, and I say, God, don't let him go to hell. God, save him. And I told this story when I was speaking in Cordell, and some people knew him, knew of him and knew that family. But so I pray for him. You know, he won't be saved. But see, people need to know. He appreciated me turning and talking Jesus. He gave me that thing. And we think, oh, they're going to be mad at us. So what? You know, so what? So they're mad. Doesn't matter. Devil gets mad when you witness to him anyway. But another thing God did that was so sweet. I told those women at Cordell, Mary goes out and she witnesses. She goes out to witness. I said, the Lord has to throw somebody in front of my cart, almost me run over them before I stop and say anything to them. You know, they have to be insistent. And so I was sitting and going to get some sliced meat and waiting in my turn in line because there are several people there. And when I was back a little ways and I was sitting in one of those riding carts, and this lady came out of the back pushing chickens that they had roasted chickens. And they just put them out, you know. And so she was bringing, and she stopped literally next to my cart where, I mean, I just touch her like this. She's right there. And so she stopped and she said, oh, my head. Oh, I hurt so bad. Oh, it's hurt all day. I'm just, oh, it hurts. Well, what am I going to do? She's in my lap, you know. So I knew that the Lord threw her in my lap. I'm supposed to do something. So I said, well, the Lord doesn't want you to hurt like this. I just said, I'm going to put my hand on you. I'm going to pray for you. And the Lord's going to touch you. And so I put my hand on her. I prayed for her. And so she went on around, put up the chicken. She went back in the back. And in about 5 minutes, she came out going, it's gone. My headache's gone. My headache's gone. And I like, one lady then standing there said, what church you go to? Then she told me what church she went to. And I'm like, I never found out the name of the lady. She never knew who I was. The point was I left going to Jesus. Thank you for showing yourself strong to that woman. Thank you for showing yourself real to her. It wasn't me. Really wasn't my prayer. It was my obedience to God threw her in my lap. So what could I do? She's in there yelling. She's hurting. But you know what? You all have the same power. We have that power. It's called Jesus. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Christians, I encourage you to use that name for your own benefit. And then share it with others so that they can grasp it, not only for time, but for eternity.
Amen. Don't be afraid to love the Lord your God out loud, y'all.
Amen. Amen.
You have been tuned in. Thank you, Sister Judy. I always enjoy and love whenever you come
thank
here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning from myself, Monica Lovell, from my beautiful sister, Tina Dobbs, and from my favorite sister, Judy Gifford. Y'all have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.